at Hannaford. Let's pray and ask for God's blessing. Father, as we come before you today, and as we recognize your great faithfulness, help us to put our focus upon you. Lord, that we wouldn't be distracted by our circumstances, but that we would be laser focused on our Savior. We thank you for your many blessings each and every day. Help us to recognize them. And Lord, that we would give you the glory. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I have a picture up here. And this picture was painted by Rembrandt in 1630. And it was about Jeremiah. And it was called Jeremiah Lembrandt. But this morning, we're going to be looking at what this picture was all about. Lamentations chapter 3 is where we will be this morning. And if you've been with us throughout the year, one of our series that we've done, we've called it 2020 Vision. Most of our series we take and we start at a certain time and do it pretty much every Sunday for a certain amount of time. But this series we've tried to do a little different, playing off of the year 2020, where we've taken and throughout the year at different times looked at vision and what it means to follow God as His church in 2020. And we looked at the story of Nehemiah. And that was the first three in our series where we saw Nehemiah and the incredible obstacles that he faced. But yet as he faced those obstacles, he looked to God for his strength, and he and the people of Jerusalem did an amazing job in rebuilding the walls. And then we looked at the life of Esther, and we just spent one week looking at the life of Esther a few months ago, and we saw that famous phrase, "For such a time as this." And we, just like Esther, needed to realize, and we need to realize, that God has put us where He has put us for a specific purpose. He has equipped us to do what He has called us to do, and we are to step out and to do that. And Esther was placed in the position that she was in as queen to protect the people of Israel, and she was placed there for such a time as this. But God, for every one of us who are His followers, we are placed where we are at, when we are there, for such a time as this. And God desires to use us just like He desired to use Esther. Well, as we close out 2020, and as we think of 2020 vision, we need to make sure we have a proper focus in how we handle our circumstances. And as we think of 2020, maybe you had a bad year or a good year. Obviously, it's been a different year. But the book of Lamentations, it's five chapters long, as we've divided it into chapters. And it's five chapters, so not that long of a book. But it's filled with all of the horrible circumstances that Jeremiah and the people of Israel were facing. And for Jeremiah, in a sense, it was sort of a double gut punch. Not only did he see his beloved people turn against God and then they were captured, but he also saw them turn against him as he, as a prophet from God, shared God's message to them to warn them and encourage them. And so he watched them turn against God, and he watched them turn against him. And the book of Lamentations, as its title leads us to believe, talks about lots of reasons for grief and for weeping. It was a lament. But in the middle of this discourse, describing the long list of horrendous circumstances, we see that Jeremiah made an intentional decision to see God's hope and faithfulness. And we're called to make that same decision. So let's pick up the story. Lamentations 3. We're going to begin in verse 19. So we're about halfway through this book of Lamentations, and he's been sharing all of the difficult circumstances that they were facing. And so verses 19 and 20, we could entitle that the bad circumstances, and sort of just a summary of how Jeremiah was feeling with all the circumstances that were taking place in and around his life. So beginning in verse 19, it says, "Remember my affliction and roaming, this wormwood and the gall. My soul still remembers and sinks within me." What a picture of the feelings that Jeremiah was going through. His soul was sinking. You ever feel that? It seems like nothing is going right, and you just feel like, oh no, what is going to happen next? And that's what Jeremiah was feeling. As he saw the circumstances that he and the people of Israel faced, his soul was sinking within him. If you remember back, and I'm dating myself here a little bit, a long time ago, I remember I was a kid, there was this show on called Hee Haw. Remember that show? And they had a group, and I didn't realize they actually had a title to this group, and they were called the Hee Haw Quartet. And I remember we had, and I know this may be hard to believe, we had like two channels. And at night, you got the bars when it closed, you know, those little colored bars. I meant there was no watching anymore that night, but Hee Haw came on. I'm trying to remember what night it was, and we had a list of shows that we were allowed to watch, and somehow Hee Haw got on that, and I, as a middle schooler, I was sort of if the TV, I got to watch the TV. I mean, it's on, so I need to watch it. So I watched this show that had probably not a lot of redeeming value, but I watched it anyway. But they had this Hee Haw Quartet, and they would come on each week, and they would sing this song, and then they would tell some jokes about the horrible circumstances of their lives. And the main lines of the song was this: "If it weren't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. Gloom, despair, and agony on me." And then they would share all the horrible things that happened. It was one of those country songs. You know, all the bad things are happening. Your dog ran away and your house burned down. Right? I mean, it was horrible circumstances. And Jeremiah was like, these are horrible circumstances. But verse 21 and following comes. And we see that there was a change in direction because Jeremiah made a conscious decision to focus on something different. And we see that mindset of faith described in verses 21 through 24. Those verses say this: "This I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope. Through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I hope in him." By the way, the great hymn of the faith comes from that line there in these verses: "Great is thy faithfulness." But thy compassions, or his compassions, they fail not. They are new every morning. His mercies will not be consumed. And because of that, Jeremiah could say there in verse 24 that the Lord was his portion and that he could have hope in God. Now, the circumstances were just the same as they were in verses 19 and 20, but the focus was totally different. But we need to have that same mindset, that same focus. And Jeremiah understood that when we build our life and our hope on things that are temporary and things that change, we will never have true peace and contentment. Only when we put our faith and our focus on the faithful God can we have true peace that will not be affected by our circumstances. He reminded himself that God's mercies were not consumed. His compassions did not fail, that his faithfulness was great, and that he could be Jeremiah's portion. And because of those promises, we, just as Jeremiah, can have hope in God. So in the next verses, we see Jeremiah reminds us how to respond when facing the trials of life. And he uses a horrible four-letter word. Now, if you were here last Sunday, Jezer spoke and shared about Joseph and Mary and the baby Jesus as they went to Egypt and talking about that horrible four-letter word, wait. It's not a fun word, is it? I remember last week I was had to run to the grocery store on the way home. I was in a hurry. You ever have that? And if you're like me, I'm sure most of you aren't like me, but if you're like me, what do you do when you get up near the checkout stands? You have your things, you're near the checkout stands. You don't do this, but I'll share what I do. I scan back and forth, strategically planning which one is the fastest. None of you do that, but just try to think with me. And so I'm sitting here, I'm in a hurry, I just have a few things, and people must have been getting ready for Christmas, even though it was a week before when I was at the store, but they were all getting ready, and they all had lots of different people in lots of large carts, and I'm scanning and planning, and I'm like, okay, this is the one. And something horrible happened. People that got in line after me and chose another line actually checked out before me. And I saw them. And I gave them loving, kind, graceful looks for getting out before I did. Wait, we do not like that word. But that's what Jeremiah tells us we have to do. Look in verse 25. It says, "But the Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. It is good that one should hope and wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man to bear the yoke in his youth. Let him sit alone and keep silent because God has laid it on him. Let him put his mouth in the dust that there may yet be hope. Let him give his cheek to the one who strikes him and be full of reproach." A lot of things packed in those verses. You're familiar with one part, giving him the cheek, the idea of turning the other cheek, taking that strike from someone. A yoke. A yoke was, they would put the yoke on the oxen so the oxen would carry the burden. He said, we're to wait silently and to carry that burden that God has allowed to be placed upon us. But you'll see two words in there that you actually are seeing beginning in verse 21. And those are the words hope and wait. And actually, those two words come from the same Hebrew word. What does that teach us? That teaches us that God desires that we wait on him because he is our hope, and that is our only hope. To wait, Isaiah in chapter 40 and verse 31 said, "But they that wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. They will mount up with wings as eagles. They will run and not be weary. They will walk and not faint." We're called to wait. We're called to bear the burden of whatever circumstances and the suffering and grief we may be going through. And how can we do that? And it's not easy. But how can we do that? We can do that when we recognize that God is faithful. And that his mercies will not be consumed. And his compassion will not fail. It is new every morning. And he desires to be our portion. Our circumstances may change. You may be here this morning going through a very difficult time in your life. Or you may be here this morning and things are going great and everything's looking rosy. But either way, or somewhere in the middle, our focus needs to be on God, the faithful, rather than our circumstances that change. And so Jeremiah can sit there and go through 2.5 chapters of all the miseries that he was facing. But then he said, but this is where I'm going to focus. Not on the circumstances, good or bad, but on the God who is always faithful. And so as we recognize that God is faithful, we can truly have hope, no matter our stage or circumstances of life. Our circumstances change, but God never does. Hebrews 13 and verse 8 says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. What's the secret to victory in tough times? It's to submit to God and to trust Him. And we all know that is hard when the circumstances are rough. But it is our only hope. And we can be confident that God is a faithful God and He will keep His promises. So in the next verses 31 and following, Jeremiah goes on to remind himself. It's like he's thinking this list through his mind as he's writing it down of all the reasons that he can put his hope in God in horrible circumstances. Verse 31 tells us that God does not cast off His people. He said, we will not be cast off. Verses 32 and 33, he reminded himself and us that God loves us even in the midst of pain and horrible circumstances. In verses 34 through 36, he was reminded that God knows what we're going through. And then in verses 37 and 38, Jeremiah shares that God is in control of everything. You know, as we think about this, I think about the life of Joseph in the book of Genesis. Not the one that we've been talking about the last 4 weeks and found in the Gospels, the husband of Mary, stepfather of Jesus. No, this is the one in the Old Testament. You find his story beginning in Genesis 37. And it seems like that Joseph's life fit that hee-haw song. You know, if it weren't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. And he started out his life there in Genesis 37, and things were going great, but his brothers became angry with him and jealous of him. And so they were going to kill him, but decided instead to sell him into slavery, to give him a life of misery and grief. And so they sold him, his own brothers sold him to the slave traders who went to Egypt and sold him to a captain of the guard there in Egypt whose name was Potiphar. But instead of wallowing in his circumstances, it said that Joseph honored God in the way that he lived. But when he did that, we see that Potiphar's wife was attracted to him and made some ungodly advances toward Joseph. And what happened? Joseph honored God and honored Potiphar in his response of like, this isn't right, no way, we're not going to do this, I'm going to honor God with the way I live. Great. So what happened? Because of his character and his integrity, he was thrown in prison because Potiphar's wife got angry with him. So now he was thrown in prison for doing right. But he didn't wallow in his circumstances. It says that he lived a life of character in that miserable, horrible prison so that the warden of the prison saw and actually put him in charge of all the other prisoners. And it was still that miserable prison, but his character was demonstrated. And why could he do that? Because he knew that God was faithful. And he knew that God's mercies would not be consumed, that his compassion was new every morning, and he could trust God. So after a while in the prison, these two guys were put in prison along with Joseph and the others that were there. And it was the butler and the baker of Pharaoh. They had done something that angered Pharaoh, so they were thrown in prison. And each of them had a dream. And Joseph interpreted their dreams, and it was God's power, but Joseph interpreted the dreams. The baker, 3 days, was going to be dead. The butler, 3 days, was going to be restored to his place, his position there in Pharaoh's court. Sure enough, after 3 days, baker was executed, butler was restored to his position. But as the butler was leaving, and you know, what was Joseph's mindset in this? I believe he was still trusting God, but said, okay, this is the way of escape that God has provided. And as the butler was getting ready to leave, he didn't worry about telling the baker, because the baker wasn't going to be able to talk about it anyway. But the butler, he's like, okay, could you please tell Pharaoh my circumstances? But you know, that hope of a way of escape disappeared along with the disappearance of the memory of the butler, because it says that the butler went back to his position and forgot about Joseph's request. 2 more years he spent in prison. And finally, after those 2 years, Pharaoh had a set of dreams. And the butler remembered and told Pharaoh about this young man that he had met in prison, who was able to interpret dreams. And Joseph was brought before Pharaoh. He interpreted the dreams that Pharaoh had, and the interpretation was there was going to be 7 years of incredible plenty, bountiful harvest, but then 7 years of devastating famine. And Joseph was put in charge. He became second in command of all of Egypt, put in charge of collecting food during the good years so they would be prepared for the lean years. And Joseph was used by God to save not only the nation of Egypt, but all the world around them, including his own family, when that devastating famine came. But what made it possible? What made it possible was that Joseph's vision was not on the circumstances, and I'm sure there were days, but overall, his focus was not on the circumstances, but was on the faithful God. And he knew that his mercies would not be consumed. And he knew that his compassion would not fail, but would be new every morning, and that God was a faithful God and could be his portion. But we're called to have that same focus. We could call it 20/20 vision. And that's what we're called to live by. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 through 9, a passage of victory and rejoicing, says this: "In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it be tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you love, though now you do not see him, yet believing you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls." Remember, just like Jeremiah, just like Joseph, live one day at a time and draw a new supply of God's mercy and compassion each and every day. It's given freely by a faithful God. God. And when we do that, no matter what 2020 has been like or what 2021 will be, we can trust in a faithful God. Why? Because great is his faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All that I've wanted, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. As we close this morning and as we think back over this past year and toward this next year, I have a short video that reminds us of the faithfulness of God and for what has been for many of us a chaotic year. So let's watch.